Hey guys, welcome to In the Dark. I have an episode tonight with my daughter Chandler, who I have been waiting to come on the podcast for quite some time to recount some of her stories of encounters she's had. And she's had a lot. She's run into quite a few things here in her lifetime, and she's just back to share some more. Here we go.
Taking me like, I don't know, a year to get you on here to tell me some of your stories.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's
just
been a
little
while.
Bit.
Sorry.
You guys have no idea how long I've been asking this child of mine to tell me some of her encounters.
You know, I went to Peru and then to Egypt.
You think you were like the busiest person on the planet over me, even.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
Yeah.
You're a terrible child.
That's awful. I'm like the worst.
She's great. She's the best. Okay, so the first story that I have been dying to hear about, and I wouldn't let her tell me these stories until she was on here. You had mentioned to me that I think it was Paul had something that happened to him during a Christmas event or something. This last year?
No, this is actually when he was little.
Yeah, it was when I was really
little.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm going to give the phone to Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I think I was around like 6 years old it was 6 to 8. It was right around when it happened. And I was still in living with my brother, and we still shared a bedroom at that time.
Okay.
And it was Christmas Eve, actually. And we just went to bed like normal. We still believed in Santa Claus and all that. And it was just like really normal, nothing crazy at all. We had bunk beds, actually. And my brother Justin always had the top bunk, and I always had the bottom bunk. And we went to sleep. I actually slept right next to a window. So I always looked out the window and stuff like that. There was curtains, just like normal bedroom. And I went to sleep, and about, I would say halfway through the night, probably a good way past midnight, like 1 to 2 a.m., I think I woke up. And I remember waking up, and it was really, really cold. And we didn't have any nightlights or anything like that. So it was just dark in the room, pretty normal. But it was really cold, and I woke up, and the window was open. Like, completely wide open.
Okay.
And I never opened the window or anything like that. I don't even think I was able to open the window at that point in my life.
Because it was little.
Yeah. The window was really tall. It was like a tall old window. And there was like a strong breeze coming through. It felt like really cold. And I looked up, and my blanket was like a good few inches above my whole body.
And it's really, this is not cool at all. Like, this is terrible.
It was very weird. Yeah, I had never seen anything like that as a kid or anything close to that. It was just floating above my body by like a few inches.
The whole blanket was like, was it like crumpled up or was it flat?
It was like, it was almost like, you know, when you see like a magic carpet floating through the
room? Yeah.
That's how it looked. It was like wavy and wiggly, but it was like feet to head completely. It was like stretched out still, but it was like just floating above me very gently.
Holy crap. Like, that's, I can't believe this. I'm shocked it was this intense.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like that yet. That's the only time I've ever seen something like that happen. And as a kid, being Christmas Eve, I thought it was Santa.
I
thought it was Santa.
So, I was going to ask you that. If naturally, if you're a child and you're waiting for Santa, you would think it would be something that he was doing.
Yep.
You know?
And it was in the middle of the night, and I knew that's when Santa came.
Did you just take the blanket?
So I grabbed the blanket with both of my hands and just pulled it down. And as soon as I like grabbed it with both of my hands to pull it down,
yeah,
it just came down. Like, it wasn't a fight or anything. It just came right down. and I just remember going to sleep.
Now, did you close the window, or weren't you able to?
No, I grabbed the window. I wasn't able to lock it or anything like that, you know, with the latch. But yeah. I grabbed the window after I pulled my blanket down and shut it.
And did you talk to Justin the next day, like your brother or anything about it?
I told my parents. I don't know if I told Justin. I mean, I must have, because we always talked about stuff. But I remember telling my parents, and I've told the story to most of my friends that I ever knew. But yeah, it was very
wild. Like, it's so weird too, that it's so weird that people only have one incident. So like not that they only have one incident all their life, but like that was the only time that happened. And then it never happened again.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the only time I've ever seen something,
you know,
for that long.
Right. And how long did it go on for?
I mean, it was at least 20 to 30 seconds that I was awake for, but I was cold. I woke up like I was cold. So yeah. It must have been active for longer than that.
That is the craziest thing. I didn't know you had something that intense of an encounter like that ever. That's just wild.
I think Paul has a problem with aliens. I don't know why, but he's had multiple encounters where he just, like, he'll wake up from dreams and be like, that was cool.
I had a dream that was like,
you don't even like to talk about it.
No.
Well, will you tell me now, like, what was
I mean
if you've told Channy, like, I'm kind of interested to know what I mean, especially since you're my kid, you know.
He
like
told me the encounter one time and said I don't like talking about it because of how uncomfortable it made him feel.
It was a dream I had in the basement, right?
Yeah.
So I was.
How old were you, first of all?
This is when I was a lot older. I think I even knew Chandler at this point.
I think you were with me.
Yeah, I think I was. I must have been 17.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like 3 years ago. Yeah. And this is in my basement bedroom.
Okay.
Where the basement at my parents' house has never been weird, actually. It's actually a lot less active than any other place in the house, you know.
Yeah.
It's calm and nice. But I was sleeping and I just had a dream, but it felt really different. Like
dream state where it's real.
Yeah, it felt really real. Okay. And I was sleeping, and then I remember feeling like really cold again. And I got like lifted up in my bed.
Yeah.
And taken like through the hallways of my house, like floating. And it was all very bright and white.
I remember you telling me that you just saw something really bright.
Yeah.
You were staring into a white light.
Yeah.
And you could hear something really weird.
And I was trying.
And you were
like, I couldn't move. I felt like I was frozen. Like, it wasn't like sometimes, you know, you just start waking up, or you start trying to wake up in a dream and you can't really move your body or anything like that. But this felt like I was completely like frozen, like in stasis, like I couldn't move at all. And then
what happened after? Like, what? So how long did this go on for?
It was a very long dream. It felt like multiple minutes, like 5 minutes, but like it was real time. It wasn't like dreams, how it just kind of feels long. It felt like it was actually time passing.
And then how did it end? Like after you felt like you were going through the halls of the house, then what happened after that? Like, what made it stop?
I was put back on my bed. And as soon as I got put back on my bed, I woke up.
It sounds like you had an alien abduction, Paul.
Doesn't it, Mom?
It felt so real. And I don't know if there's any part of the story that I'm missing that I remember telling you.
I just remember you telling me that you felt light. You said that you felt like you were lifted up, like horizontally lifted up. And then you said you looked into a bright light up.
Yeah.
And you heard like beeps or something, or you saw colorful lights, and then you like woke up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't remember any of it.
That's exactly how these happen.
Isn't it scary?
And it wasn't like bad. Nothing bad happened.
No, a lot of times they're not. It sounds to me like you might have had a memory of the night that you were little on Christmas Eve, might have been even the first occurrence you had one.
Well, the thing about Paul is that he's really fascinated with the stars and stuff.
Oh,
You
yeah.
should see Paul. He's ridiculous. Like, he's always really fascinated about space and he wants to know more about space. And I couldn't care less. Like, I think space is
I want to
cool,
know
but
about
Paul's like, I
everything
want to go
after.
out of space. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he has like a fascination with it. So it's really
Your
weird.
dad is. Your dad's like that. And I think he's had, when he was a teenager, especially, or even a child, I think he started becoming abducted. I don't think it happens all the time. I think that it's like periodically through your life that you're, I don't think, a lot of people don't have them. It's not like they have it, this doesn't go on constantly, but they'll have periodic abductions, throughout, it might be decades later, whatever, but it's like they're keeping tabs on you
Right.
know? And that's what it sounds like to me, that even the night, like I said, Christmas Eve, that could have been them returning you to your bed.
That I never really even connected those two, honestly. But that definitely could be
That
similar
could have been your
situations.
first experience with it. I don't know why they target certain people. It seems like, maybe more people have them than realize, but it's like there's just certain people that seem to really have them, and you have to wonder why. Why those people,
I just think it's interesting how Paul's had these really, really physical, weird encounters with like alien straight up out
You
of
can
movie
yeah,
stuff.
you can feel it
And
is
yeah.
it's you can
Well,
feel
I
your
remember the
body.
day after it happened to you, like when you had the dream, you felt really weird. Like you didn't even want to tell me it happened. Like you
No.
felt so scared about it.
I was extremely
You're
scared.
like, dude, it was so real. I can't even describe to you how real. Like it happened. Like you're like, it just happened, you know? Like,
I can remember going through the hallway, the
yeah.
lights off and every like
That's terrifying.
it was very
Makes
real.
you wonder too, Chandler's like always been a sensitive, and we've had so many encounters in our family that's so ongoing that
Ridiculous.
maybe you even just enhanced having you around had either, could have brought something or, just made it more so. I don't
Maybe I'm
know,
protecting you.
What'd you say?
Maybe I'm protecting you.
It could be. I mean, Tressa the other night, Tressa staying in the room that my one daughter moved home, and she's staying in the balcony room that Chandler used to stay in
Oh,
and
yeah.
have like things knock on her doors and stuff like that. For 2 nights now, Tressa has come downstairs. The first night she messaged me 2 nights ago, she came down and said, "Mom," she said, "something was knocking on my door at 3 o'clock in the
Yep.
morning."
You've seen something in that door. When I used to stay at the house
I
with you,
know.
we used to see things sitting outside of that
The
door.
tall man always used to, like, there's this guy with a top hat that always came in my bedroom. Oh my gosh, I could tell you a book of how many things have happened to me in that bedroom, honestly.
Well, you're going to tell me throughout the course of this whole
I know.
stuff that we're doing here.
Would you say, Mom?
I said we're gonna cover all that eventually.
Eventually. I mean, I can't even express to you when I remember I was on Skype with Paul. I've always had a thing about wolves. I don't know what it is. I've always had a really big thing about dogs and wolves, and
Yeah.
dogs always liked me, and I've always had a fascination with it. Like, you know how like the teenage girl that likes Edward Cullen, well, I just liked werewolves and I didn't really care, you know,
Yeah.
how I just thought that they were cool. Like somebody turning into a wolf was a cool idea to me. And I remember I was Skyping with Paul and on the
Even
balcony.
your, let me interrupt you for a second, Hirsch. Isn't your Skype name have a wolf in it? You don't have to give the name, but I'm saying it's something wolf. It's kind of
Yeah,
funny.
it's Wolf Cuddles. Okay, I created it when I was like 13.
But
Give
you had Mystic Wolf too.
yeah. I have a problem, Mom. So I was Skyping Paul, and I don't know, I was probably like 18, you know, seven, or he was 17, and we were on Skype, and in my balcony window, you could straight up, clear as day, see an outline of a wolf on the camera.
Yeah.
But when I turned around and physically looked at the balcony, it was not there. But every
Because
time he looked at the camera, it was there, and he could see that it was
yeah,
there.
I pointed it out.
And I turned around, and then within like, and then we just kind of like let it be. We're like, maybe it's just like the fog of the window, or I mean, I don't really know how you explain something like that. And then all of a sudden, like 10 minutes later, that shape was gone. Like we didn't do anything. I didn't go check on it. I didn't go knock on the door. I just let it be. I was like, oh, something's weird's happening. Whatever. And then it just went away. And I'm like, that's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
No, cameras pick up many, many times, pick up what we can't see.
Yeah.
That's why people, when they ghost hunt and they do the stuff they do, they, you know, they use cameras and like white noise and that type of stuff. Cause you can't, you know, our senses and what we have, our abilities don't cover that, you know, that spectrum, but the camera does. So that's a shame you didn't get a screenshot of it.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah. If that ever happens again, trying to, and the thing is, I just had a listener the other day. I think it was last night or this morning. He said that, you know, he doesn't see a lot of pictures and stuff. I said, the thing you have to understand, I said, is that when this stuff happens, it's usually so quick.
Yeah.
And you're so shocked that it's like, you just don't think to pick up your camera. Yeah.
Last thing on your mind is to grab a phone.
Yeah.
You're too busy just making sure you're going to be alive through it.
Yeah. Like, and recovering yourself from the shock of even what you're seeing. Like you, and then by the time you would think about getting a camera, it's gone. It's like a fleeting glimpse, or it just, you know, or you may not even have your phone with you, or even if you look down or you blink, they're gone, you know, and that's usually how these encounters happen. And you just, you know, you just don't. Now people are getting things on camera because they're, I believe most of it's because people have actual cameras set up all the time.
Yeah.
And that's why they're able to capture these images and videos that they're capturing, because, you know, if you just use your own, you know, handheld, you know, ability to think to grab a camera and stuff, you're not going to get it.
And
you know,
so. Yeah, pictures of themselves more often and of their families and stuff because they
security
have phones.
Cameras.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's just more accessible now.
Yeah. I had mentioned too, I was talking to Tristan the one night. I said, you know, we should put up a camera in the bedroom. Because, you know, we have so much activity in the house. I said, we should put up a camera just to see what goes on when we're sleeping. And he was like, no way.
Yeah, I would say no.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to know. It's like, I want to know. I think it'd be fascinating, you know? So I might put one up in my room just to see, because I have so much activity all the time. It's just constant, you know?
No, Paul doesn't. So not too much stuff has happened in his house, but like, man, when he came over.
Oh, my gosh. When you guys were talking up in the upstairs bedroom, and I was you, Chandler, and Tressa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was downstairs with Tristan, and everything was kind of getting heated a little bit upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys said when the house gets heated, like anger wise and stuff, it gets more active. And I never really knew what you guys meant by that.
Yeah.
But I was in the kitchen and I heard, you know, footsteps coming from that laundry room that you have, and then walking out into the wooden hallway that leads up to your upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just like one or two footsteps, and it wasn't just like a creak of wood. I heard like six footsteps walking down the wood hallway and going to the stairs multiple times, like almost back and forth. I was like, Tristan, do you hear that? And he's like, oh yeah. Yeah, I hear it. And I'm like, what do you mean you hear it? He's like, yeah, I hear it. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
He's like, it just happens sometimes. And I even tried to go out to the hallway to recreate it, and I wasn't even heavy enough to make the wood creak.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I tried to step in the same exact spots I heard it. And I had boots on too, and I couldn't even get the wood to creak.
You know what's really messed up is that I was up in the bedroom with you guys, and I thought I heard Tristan, because they were heavier footsteps and Tristan's a heavier guy, and I thought Tristan was walking up the stairs, and Paul said that is like the same time I heard somebody. So I heard it and Paul heard it.
Yeah,
and
you were standing in the doorway and he was downstairs.
Yeah, and these were some boots, like these were some footsteps. Wow. And it just blew my mind, because I thought Tristan had crept up to the stairs, heard that we were talking, and then left because he didn't want to get involved. You know what I mean? He didn't want to get involved. So I was like, okay. And I never saw Tristan. Like, I never saw
Tristan
him.
Tristan was with me the whole time.
That messed with me so hard. That oh man. Now,
Paul, when you said you heard six footsteps, do you mean you heard six or three separate sets of feet, or like, you know, pairs of feet, or six separate sets, or
it was like what? I heard three footsteps coming from the laundry room area, and then okay. I heard another distinct three footsteps in the wood hallway, and maybe even a few more in the wood hallway towards the stairs.
And then you heard it go up the steps.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's wild. I remember like that night we had, you know, every now and then families, you know, have a little bit of a little, you know, tiff. And we had one of our family members had done something that we got upset about, obviously. And so we were talking to them and got a little heated, but this was, you know, it seems like when this stuff happens, that I believe in my heart of hearts that it's either demonic that walks into your house and it causes these kind of things to happen, or whether it may not be demonic, it could be ET, it could be, you know, cryptid. We don't know exactly what all causes this, but we kind of label it in general as demonic, which basically covers everything, you know. Well, yeah.
When I was standing in the doorway, I kept seeing, me and Tristan always saw the same thing in that house. And that was just the tall man. He's as tall as the ceiling in the hallway. And he has a top hat on. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But that's exactly what it looks
like.
Many
sightings of him.
And it's a complete shadow. Like, it's a complete shadow, man. But he's really, like, his chest is big, like, Gru. Like, Gru from Despicable Me, where he's got a really big chest and really small arms.
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's like big. And he was peeking in the door while we were arguing. And I was like, oh man, God, makes me mad. Yeah, yeah. Like just peek. Like every so often I'd see the shadow like hunch in, look in the doorway. And that's what I used to do when I lived in that bedroom. All the time I'd see the shadow just standing in the doorway or peeking in the doorway real quick, or, you know, coming into my bedroom. And it's like, but he never came fully into my bedroom. It was just in the hallway. Never left the hall.
Now, what does he look like in the face?
Nothing. It's just shadow. Well, like, the way, like, my brain always... Have you ever seen The Babadook?
No, that, I don't think so.
That movie, that's how my brain kind of, like, visualizes his face. But, like, looking at him, you can't see his... He's just a shadow. Mm. Just black. Just a black shadow with kind of, like hair kind of sticking out of the side a little bit. Mm-hmm. And... Well, you can't see anything in the face. It's just all black and with long arms.
Long feet or long legs?
Yeah, long legs.
And he's just like dressed in black or gray or...
Okay, I know this sounds kind of funny, but he straight up looks like he has like a Pieto suit top part on. Like he's kind of got like that cape in the back. Yeah, the top coat. Yeah, like a long top coat.
Wow.
And the rest of it's black, but that's just like the shape of him. It looks funny.
That and you, do you think he's what causes the friction, or do you think he follows you or protects you? I mean, what's your spin on him?
He's just kind of like a little trickster, you know, something that feeds off of things that like to, you know, always show that they're around, you know, really messes with the kids. Yeah, because like, okay. You guys have never seen him, but you know, of course, me and Tristan always have. I just think.
I saw the vampiric looking man, which might be the shadow man because I saw the face. Nothing in the yard, and he was wearing like an elegant,
yeah,
but he was more like in a black, I would say that was more like a trench coat type thing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that because I saw that 100%. I told Paul that story.
We were outside one time and something ran past us, remember?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
straight up physical, like it looked like a person,
yeah,
ran right past me and Paul.
What?
This it looked
when
like
we were
a
living in the van, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah, this is when we were living out back, like years ago.
You weren't living out back. You guys were hanging out in the van all the time.
Yeah. You know, we were.
I don't know what people are thinking. You were living out back here. I was like, wait a minute, Chad, you had your room, guys.
We fully chose to live in this van.
They stayed in the van for privacy because they liked hanging out back.
It was our hangout spot. It was awesome.
Yeah, I gave them a van, and they converted it into like this little. Camperish type. It was like their camp out place, and they would go out and stay in this
Christmas
thing all the
lights
time.
In there. We had a mattress. It was awesome. It's so cool.
Yeah, you're so funny.
And we were outside, and we were talking. We had just stopped talking to Dad, and Dad was going inside the house, mm-hmm. and then me and Paul were standing outside, and I don't remember exactly what we were doing. I think we were just heading into the van or heading to the garage, maybe to steal some ice cream, you know, just that whole shebang.
Yeah. Yeah.
And straight.
Always stealing my ice cream.
Yep. Always. That sounds too good. And we just straight up saw this dude, white face. You know, it wasn't like you couldn't see it very well because he was like past the tree line, like in between that our yards, like your yard and your neighbor's yard where that fence is. He was right next to that fence, track starring it towards the cliff.
Yeah.
And me and Paul thought that somebody was like running through the yard.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I remember that.
And then ran past the one side.
I remember you guys running in the house thinking that maybe you saw somebody run through the yard, but you were like, it couldn't have been a person.
Because he didn't go anywhere.
Once he got to the cliff, he
stopped.
Yeah, there was like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and we told Dad, we're like, Dad, I think there's somebody in the yard because we just saw a dude ran through the yard and there was nobody there. That was scary.
And you said he had a white face.
Yeah, like he was either like Caucasian. Well, he was like in the shadows though, so you couldn't see exactly what he was wearing, but he was wearing clothes, dark clothes.
Yeah, we don't live in an area where anybody would run through our yard. Like, there's nobody that would run through this yard because we live up kind of like on a hill and it's kind of away from everything and you know, there's just no way anybody would just go running through this yard, you know.
Right.
So, and then at the back there, there's like a drop off. It's a cliff that drops off, and you know, there's nowhere to go back there.
Yeah, and the dude was going straight to it.
Yeah,
straight to the cliff. And then after he passed the garage,
we didn't hear anything.
Yeah. And the dogs were going nuts. Like, the neighbors' dogs were going crazy.
Yep.
Like, they were like we legit thought that somebody was running through the yard and there was nobody there. Because Dad even went outside with his gun, and me and Paul went outside and we checked everything and there was nobody there.
Yeah. You would hear somebody climbing down the cliff. I mean, you know, or if they went down the path, you would see them. Like, you'd have time to see them. It would take a while to get down the path. So it would.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy. I remember that now that you were talking about that. It just brought back a memory. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember that.
Yep.
We've had so much stuff happen. Now, I thought you said, did you have any other, like, I thought there was something else that major happened to you during a hike or a camping thing that you hadn't told me yet. Do you remember
yet
or not?
There's a couple. It's up at the swimming hole that we go to every year.
Okay.
And it's up towards Trout Run, and we okay, so
we've seen a lot of stuff at this place.
Like, it's almost like clock past 7:30, 7 o'clock, 7:30, stuff comes out no matter what. And the first time me and Paul were ever up there, our buddy showed us the place first.
Yep.
And then me and Paul have just like been up there every single year since, and we love being up there, but there's something definitely up there. I remember the first time I went up there, like a group of friends, and we were at there's the lower falls and the upper falls, and we were at the lower falls, and I was like straight into a trance, right? Like, I started staring off. There's like these swimming hole areas where you can just jump in and everybody and stays.
There's a lot of people there.
Yeah. But nobody really goes past the certain swimming holes. Like, there's usually like a radius that everybody typically stays in.
Yep.
Right.
If you really want to go on a hike and really want to go explore more of the water, you can actually go up and down. But this was like the first time I was there. So I was like perfectly fine being at the swimming hole. And Paul says that I just like turned and just started like walking.
Yeah. She usually doesn't do that. She usually sticks to the groups and just kind of hangs out with everybody. And Chandler, I mean, you know, Chandler, she doesn't like going out alone in those type of woods and stuff like that. Cause she, you know, she usually sees stuff or animals and stuff like that. But she just turned away from the group and started walking. And I noticed when she was like probably 30 feet away and I'm like, just standing there, I'm like, what is she doing? And I start walking towards her and I'm like, hey, Jan, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm just going this way. And like in a really weird voice.
Wow.
And just walking.
Yeah.
And
it was really messed up because like all I could remember was in my head, like I knew I shouldn't have been going, right? Like I knew I should not be going this way. I was like, I should probably not do this. But I'm interested. I don't know what, but I was like, the curiosity or like the pool was like kind of making me feel like it'll be okay.
It looked like you were being drawn.
It was really messed up.
Right. And, right.
Heard.
Yeah. And in my, and then I heard like just the most weirdest cackle.
We both heard
them. Yeah. Witchy laugh I've ever heard. Like it was like, like it was just weird. And it was like an older woman laughing, not endearingly.
To
and,
me, it almost sounded like three.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like three like different laughs way out in the woods. And then, and then, and even then Chandler was like, I think I should go. I think we should go. And she just kept saying that.
Yeah. And I was, and I, after like Paul kind of like convinced me, cause it took him several minutes to just be like, Chandler, you don't need to be going this way. Like, seriously, turn around. Let's go. And I was like, okay. I was like, I guess not. And then I
grabbed her.
Yeah. You grabbed my arm and you're like, let's go. And I looked at Paul and I said, in my head, I saw three women dressed in like these silk robes that were black and dark purple, and the one had a staff on my head. Like the one they were, and they were walking in the woods, and I couldn't see their face. They were just like, their backs are drawn, and they were just walking in the woods. And I was like,
but I wonder why you, like, why did they choose to?
I was the only woman in the group.
Certainly, yeah.
Oh,
I didn't know if that. I just thought of that, but I was the only girl there.
Wow.
And it didn't affect me or anything at all. I felt no draw or anything. I just saw what was happening to Chandler.
Just, I wonder, like, I just have this constant curiosity to, you know, why are there certain people that are targeted? Why was that particular person out of an entire group chosen to be the one that was put in a trance? Why was that person abducted by an alien? You know, like, what is it about certain people, you know, that, I mean, what is it, you know? And it just fascinates me that this stuff happens to people.
Well, it seems like, see, the thing about like the place that we go to, it's not, it doesn't seem, it seems extremely dangerous, but also extremely magical at the same time. Like, and it only messes with me and Paul. I don't really even say messes with, it only like reveals itself to me and Paul, because we talk with our friends all the time and they don't see anything.
No,
they never feel anything. They never sense anything. They're just normal, like having fun, you know, like, and the stuff that we see isn't exactly like small stuff. Like we're straight up seeing like little shadows run around, and I'm hearing witches in the woods. And so is Paul. Like, it's not even just me or just Paul. It's me and Paul physically seeing the stuff up there.
And usually if me and Chandler both see it, then we know for a fact that it at least occurred, because a lot of the times just one of us will hear something and we'll be like, all right, well, maybe we were just seeing something or something like that. But when we're both seeing it, it's very
that always validates it. It's like, you know, there's been so many times we've, you know, different, I mean, a lot of times with our encounters in the house or on the property, there's been at least two of us see it or hear it, so we know that we're not, you know, imagining it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it's usually two or more of us.
Yeah. So, and when we're up there, I remember, like, that was the very first thing, and then it was either that same trip or the next. We were up there till, like, 7:30, and because it takes, like, 45 minutes to get up there, and we were up there till about 7 o'clock, 7:30, and me and Paul kept seeing these little black things running around the woods, peeking around trees.
They almost looked like small tree stumps.
Yeah.
Like peeking out from behind stuff. And that's what kind of like your mind would go to first. You'd think, oh, well, that's just like a tree stump behind that. And then you'd glance away for a second and you'd look back or like glance past it again, and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And I saw the two I saw, the one I saw was they're really black. Like it's like a thick black, and it looked like it had like a little like fur cape that like draped up. And Paul saw it the same time I saw it. It was the same little tattered furry like long cape.
Wasn't one almost like an orange hue to the cape?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that. But yeah. Mm-hmm. And it like whipped around a tree. It was like running, and you could actually see like the leaves being picked.
we've actually seen the leaves move there when nothing.
Like something stepping on the leaves, like no running breeze, past. No, nothing. No, no. It's
Do you remember the video I sent you? Hang on, I'm getting an echo here. I hope you're not seeing it. There was an echo on the phone. There's a video of a little person that he looked just like a little wood sprite, and it caught him on video. And I sent it to him. Looks just like what you're describing.
Wow, that sucks. I actually don't remember that one.
I'll send it to you again.
I'm hearing the echo, by the way. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm hoping people aren't going to hear this. I don't know what that is. Maybe it'll pass, hopefully. You get a lot of glitchy things that happen when you're doing these podcasts. It's really weird sometimes. We always think that, you know, that it's stuff messing with us trying to disrupt it. You just never know. But, you know, that this stuff is just, this is crazy stuff. So what I was saying was we started to get an echo there. Robin had told me that the Pennsylvania woods, like the Appalachian Mountains, but especially like there's certain states, and she said Pennsylvania is a really big one, and it's actually one that's had a lot of disappearances and stuff. She said it's really bad for the ETs. The ETs that live in these mountains, she said, are really bad.
Yeah, Paul was just asking me how I felt about the little trolls that we saw up there, and I always felt like they were like really tribal and they were like territorial. You know what I mean? Like they were like checking us out, and they're like kind of like get off my land kind of thing. Like not so much where they just like attack for no reason, but it was like a like you better watch yourself kind of thing.
Just making sure, watching around us.
Yeah,
it was odd. Well,
the Indians talked about the little people. They talked about these. Even little Indian tribes that were little, that they were these tiny little Indians that, you know, lived in the wild, and they would just kind of live underground or wherever, and they saw them many, many, many times.
That's
we live in a really wacky world.
It's also really crazy because we always the place that we're talking about always feels very like spiritual and old.
Extremely. Yeah. And we actually walk around, and if you pay attention to the rocks. Paul loves collecting rocks, and if you look at the rocks around the place, it's like they're burned. There's
scratch marks on them.
And they always are in threes. Wow. I'm not even joking with you. We never take rocks from this place because we don't feel like it's a good idea. But we've picked up things before and been like, we should definitely put this back because I've now get into the habit of giving things to them when we go up there because they like to take our stuff. I've had multiple things taken when we were up there, so I just have at this point shiny things. Yep, my diamonds out of my ring was awesome. I've had this engagement ring that Paul got me forever, and I have never ever lost diamonds out of it. I've never had an issue with it. And the one day I go up there, and one of my diamonds went away, and I was like, of course. course.
Friend lost a necklace. Yep. I think you've lost
earrings. Yep. I've lost so many shiny things up there, and I've just gone up there.
It's funny, people think they lose things and they're actually probably taken. You know, you go away, you go to an area, and you're like, there's no way this can be gone. I've had this happen up at Ricketts Glen and stuff like that, and you look all over, there's nowhere it could be, and it's just gone.
Yeah.
So
yeah, speaking of Ricketts Glen, I don't like being up there.
That story about that that encounter with you guys hiking that trail.
The funny thing is that nobody else felt it. I just felt extremely threatened. We went up there and me and Paul, we've gotten into the habit of carrying our weapon or our firearms with us because it, you know, like we've ran into multiple encounters where it was very nice to have
very close to bears and stuff.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's just a good thing to have when you're out in the wilderness and stuff like that. And I felt so threatened. Like I kept feeling this weird vibration, like in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this low hum, and
that's
it would happen.
Infrasound, Jen.
It was terrifying.
Sasquatch and dogmen that do that.
Well, the messed up part is that I remember all the things you told me, and I'm up here like experiencing it, and like Justin, Paul, and Tim are just hiking, having a great time, and I'm out here with Violet, and I'm like, dude, I feel like I'm gonna get killed right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel awful right now.
Well, the thing that concerns me about you is that you seem to be a target for this stuff. Like, it seems like they're always, you know, you're the one that was put in a trance. You know, you're the one that feels like the infrasound. Like, there's some kind of a thing they might be fascinated with you a little bit there, and that worries me a little bit. You need to carry, like an auto locator device. That's something you need to have with you. Both of you need that, and you should always have a weapon and an auto locator. You know,
put a dog GPS on
me. You did get lost in the woods up there one time.
Where?
Remember we were?
Oh, we were split for a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. Well, we both got lost. It was like we got into a stupid fight and we split off, and it was really stupid. And yeah,
good, they can even cause that, you know, to split you up.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they do try to. There's always like what they call that point of separation, where they try to get people to separate.
Yeah, I felt god awful when we separated, because I was like, I don't know what could happen up here, and then I just immediately went to go find Paul.
And we actually ended up passing by each other and not seeing each other.
Yeah.
And I don't know how.
I don't either.
It took us like 45 minutes to find each other.
It was really messed up, yeah.
Well, there's portals. I definitely believe that a lot of the problems that people are having are they're walking through portals, and they can never be, they don't ever come out of them.
Yeah.
They don't ever find their way out.
Me and Paul always talked about that. Like, if I go through a portal, just jump through it with me.
You don't know where it is, though. Like, there,
I
there
know.
Something could be hunting us and set up a portal so that we walk through the portal. Or, you know, there was a hunter, not a hunter, he was a hiker that was out, you know, doing his thing. They believe he went through a portal. When the search team went out for him, they could hear him yelling for help, and they couldn't find him anywhere.
That's terrifying. Wow.
And he was right there. Like, they could hear him as if he was right there, and there's nowhere he could have been.
That's terrifying.
And they were like, he had to have gone through a portal. He had to. And he couldn't find his way out.
See, humans need to be equipped. Like, we need the knowledge to do this stuff, because, like, this is ridiculous. We're not equipped for this.
We're trying to get, you know, the missing 411 and doing podcasts, and everybody's trying to get this information out, comparing stories so that we can try to figure out what the hell's going on, you know, and to combat it if we have to. I mean, some of it's just pure evil, you know, and other parts of it might just be glitches, you know, portals opening up that, you know, whether they're put there on purpose to entrap us into it, or we might just walk through one that just is there. We don't know. We don't know what's going on.
That's great.
That's why this work that we're all doing is crucial.
That's insane.
It's crazy. It's not just, this isn't just for fascinating stories. I mean, this is like, we're trying to investigate this stuff to find out what the heck's going on here, you know?
Sometimes I feel like we could never get to that point unless like something actually reached out and like, you know, spoke to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at least the awareness is there. It's becoming more and more so that people aren't just walking randomly out in the wilderness thinking they're safe in a hike anymore.
You know, that was never a thing.
It is very odd that people think that they can just go out in the woods and they'll be perfectly fine.
That's such a crazy idea that people have. Like, what makes you feel like you can just go out there
for a jog
by yourself with no weapons, no nothing, and just feel like, yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Well, a lot of the people, like, they'll live in an area like, say, you know, Pennsylvania doesn't have grizzly bears, and we weren't supposed to have mountain lions, but we do. I mean, people keep catching them on cameras and stuff like that, you know. But so the government comes in and it tells people, hey, you're in an area that doesn't really have packs of wolves. You don't really have coyotes. You don't have grizzly bears. So they're like, oh, well, I'm fairly safe. You know, the worst that I really would fear would be another human being, and I feel pretty good about this. I feel like I can defend myself. So they go out there and they don't realize that there's aliens and Bigfoot and dog men and little people and witches and portals. And, you know, that we freaking live in a, in like a movie. Like, we live in a fantastical, universe that's got all kinds of crap going on here.
Yeah. You know,
complete supernatural realm. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the awareness is starting to come out, and that's where you start. That's the starting point, you know, where you have to understand that you're living out of, you're living a, like a movie straight out of, like Legend or Harry Potter, or, there's stuff that is around us that's going on like that.
I wonder if people don't have that sense though of danger.
No, they don't.
I don't understand, because me and Paul have been inside the, one time we were inside the camper and we heard something land on the roof, straight up just like land on it. We didn't know what it was. We thought it might have been like a, I don't know, a whole flock of birds, we don't know what it was, but we're something just kind of sat on the roof. And because we've heard, funny enough, we've heard geese on the roof, and it sounds like penguins are running across the roof, and you hear all kinds of stuff. And then I went outside, and I never felt so threatened and so much darkness and evil. And I could feel something sitting hunched over on top of the roof. And it felt so big and so scary. And I was I looked at Paul, because then Paul peeked out of the door, and he's like, dude, it smells bad out here. It smelled almost like rotting flesh.
You straight up, this is no lie, that is such a standard report of a dogman or a Bigfoot.
Honestly, that's what it felt like. It felt like a giant dog was on top of the roof.
Sounds like a dogman, because a Bigfoot, that sounds to me more like a dogman.
Yeah, Paul actually, he peeked out, and then he said, what's going on? And then he came outside with me, and I was standing outside next to the car, and he was standing outside next to me. He goes, Chandler, it smells like rotting flesh out here. And I looked at him, I said, there's something on top of the roof.
Yeah. I shined a flashlight, which is a really powerful flashlight that I have.
1500 lumens?
Yeah, up onto the roof. And I mean, I should have been able to see anything that was up there, but it was just incredibly dark.
Like a void.
Wow.
It was like it hit like a mass, and it no light could go through it. It was ridiculous. We actually ran inside. Yeah. We were like, we're done.
Because it smelled terrible.
It was awful.
You guys had a dogman encounter.
I think that's the only time that we've smelled that.
No, yeah, that was the only time I've ever. It's really weird. All growing up, I used to smell rotting flesh. Remember me coming up to you saying that kind of stuff?
Isn't that weird that then I didn't know anything about this stuff? Mm-hmm. I didn't know dogmen and Bigfoot. I didn't know about the cryptids. We knew about the spirits and the ghosts and demons and stuff, but we didn't really know about all this stuff then.
Yeah.
So we never understood what it was, other than thinking it was a demon, which they could be demonic. We don't know. Robin says they're not, people that are dealing with them regularly say they're, they've been told they're not, from the underworld, or they're not demonic. They're a whole other different, entity.
Yeah.
But when something smells like sulfur and rotting flesh and garbage, you can't really think that that's something that's good.
No.
We hear a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah,
where we're at, because on the farm, we hear stuff tap the side of the camper. Okay. Just a few nights ago, I heard just a single knock on the glass door at mm-hmm. 2 a.m.
Yeah,
it's weird stuff like that. Kind of, you just hear it,
and it's really messed up
in that area too. That's really, really secluded back there.
Oh yeah,
and there's water.
A lot of
right next to us.
Yep. Yeah. Well, the really messed up part is that in the camper, it's really good. Everything inside the camper, we don't really have, we have things that pass through the camper and will be in here for maybe a week.
Yep.
And then they'll pass through. Nothing can attack inside of here, but right. Everything on the outside tries to mess with us from the outside. We'll hear things knock over, we'll hear things knock on the camper, or noises, we'll hear singing, we'll hear people talking, and they're dying. Nobody. Yeah. And it's crazy.
The thing you got to be careful of, one of their tricks that they do is they'll knock on a door or a wall, and then they'll be up on the roof. And then when the person opens the door, they snatch you from up above.
Mm.
Because people don't think to look above them. They always look out. They look, they walk out the door and think, you know, something knocked on the door. So it's at the door and it's actually above on the roof waiting for you.
That's crazy.
And they're so strong, they just snatch you right up and take off with you.
I don't really know the reason why that happened, because I mean, that's like I said, it's like things pass through, you know, like it's not very stagnant here. It's
such a forested location that, like, it just
you're not going to have things like some people have encounters all the time, and others it'll just be like this, you know, maybe, you know, 10 years go by and you have an encounter. You know, and then another 10, 20 years go by, then you have another one. Or it could be like, you know, once every 6 months, or it's weird how they just, you know, I don't know if they know some of these cryptids and creatures might migrate through areas. Like there might be a cycle of migration where they come back to a certain area at a certain time, you know, and then they tend to pay you a visit.
Mm-hmm.
Or bad ones come through and they're drawn to you. You know, because there's some bad ones apparently. You know,
but
like Chandler and Paul live, there's like a huge cornfield out there. There's a stream that runs by their place. It's like this whole farmland thing going on. And you've actually told me about hearing voices and singing out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't walk past the field past a certain point because you can hear music and drums and all kinds of stuff out there.
And it's just forest. There's nothing back there.
No, like
there's more streams.
Yeah, but like there's people that live off in the distance, but they shouldn't be over in our area with drums. Like, you know what I mean? Like tribal drums. Like these aren't, you know, this is almost like frat house ceremony, you know, kind of like drum beats that you'll just hear. And there's no explanation for it. You just hear it. And then sometimes you'll hear people singing, or you'll hear like a weird like coo, or, you know, like, I mean, it's like, you know, when it's an animal and you know when it's not an animal, because we hear there's like a group of foxes that are outside.
We just heard a dog bark.
Oh yeah. Yesterday last night it was like 1 o'clock in the morning and
raining.
It was raining outside and we just heard a dog barking. Just a dog barking.
Like it was in the stream.
Yeah. And we went outside and stopped. As soon as we went outside, it stopped. And we were like, okay, let's just go back inside.
Wild. Like,
because we've had dogs on the farm, you know, people's dogs get out, you know, you catch them, you give them back. So we're like, oh, maybe somebody. But the dog sound like it was in pain, you know, like it didn't sound like it was normal. It was just kind of like a dog yelping. And we went outside. And as soon as we went outside,
but it was very close to the house. We should have been able to see it very easily.
Oh, super easy. Yeah.
Well, then that could be something trying to lure you out to try to rescue a dog.
Yeah. Well, the funny part is that we never really leave the house without two guns and a flashlight because a pack of coyotes just passed through the other night. So it's not like, you know, like it's
we
scary.
We know the difference between animal noises and...
like not animal noises.
Yeah.
You could tell there's... you know, there's an instinct inside of us that, you know, you can feel and sense that something's off, you know.
For and sure.
I mean, there's a battle going on down here. And I believe that we do have protective angels and protection from God. And that's really the only thing that's keeping us alive.
Yeah.
And you know, this battle that, like, so you have these feelings and these voices in your head that tell you no. You know, don't go or get out or something. That could very well be, you know, a guardian watching over you or the Lord. You know, I do believe that. So, yeah,
it's really funny because, like, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 days ago, I opened up my Bible because I was reading something. It was kind of like motivational. And I left my Bible open to that page every day since. So I hope it gives me motivation. And Paul even asked, he's like, hey, is your Bible open? And I was like, yeah, it's just like just something I wanted to. And ever since then, we've been seeing black orbs in the house. And it's like, isn't that convenient? You know, like, why? Yeah. Why does that
come? They never rest. They never tire. I don't think people do not understand that this battle never, ever, ever stops. Like these entities and creatures and demons and spirits and AI and draconians and whatever they are. I mean, there's like a whole group, different groups possibly, that, you know, are just all out to, you know, cause us harm and death. And destruction, and they don't ever rest. They don't get tired like humans do. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to rest. These things don't. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, this is their happiness. Like, this is, they're so dark and so evil that, you know, their form of happiness is to cause others pain and conflict, you know? And, you know, apparently because God loves us, well, you know, they're on the outs with God, and so we are the target.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the most powerful things I can always say is, like, every time I'm outside, I usually, like, you know, try to put out a protective bubble, you know, try to keep a good shield, because I mean, it's been a long time since I've ever wanted to get in contact with anything, because me and Paul, we watch, like, ghost hunting shows and all kinds of stuff, and we talk about ghost hunting, and I'm just like, I don't think I'd ever do it, because I'm just like, yeah. I really don't want to open myself up ever.
I like to watch stuff, because the reason that I listen and watch certain things is because I feel like you know it's power. It gives you the power to know, the knowledge to know that what you're up against, what people are dealing with, what's worked for them to defeat things. You know, that's why I do this, and that's why I'm interested in it. But it is not, I don't do it for entertainment. I do it more for, you know, just to gain the knowledge and to gain, you know, more power and control over maybe knowing how to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, and now I do believe that at the heart of all of it is God. That's the number one way, whether you're an atheist or a Christian or a Muslim or a Jewish person or whatever you are, you know, the bottom line is the people that are turning to God to deal with most of this are having a lot of success, you know, so that should tell you something. But, you know, I just think that this is just really, people don't want to accept what we're dealing with here, you know?
I think people just, you have the people who are skeptics, and you have the people who are kind of the in-between, and then you just have people that have just dealt with it their whole lives, so they're just kind of like, yeah, it's there. You know, like, and I just feel like it kind of, I think actually people who are skeptics are almost the most useful in finding out what's going on, because, yeah, like, they're like, I want to prove it to myself. So they're like going out there and trying to, like, you know, prove themselves wrong or prove other people wrong, where it's like people who have dealt with it their whole lives, they're like, yeah, it's there. You know,
well, like, we're just so accepting of it. We're like, well, there's,
yeah,
I've always been there. I've grown up around it. So I just don't know anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And skeptics go out and they're like the scientists of the world that want to,
yeah,
or prove it right or whatever.
They're trying to, like, you know, get really into the minds of a demon, and we're all just like, nope, I'm good.
No, we're not going there. I had too many experiences with them. We're good.
Yeah, like, I'm good on that thing, so. I'm actually trying to get them away from me.
I know. Once you seem to encounter them, you know, there's so many people that have PTSD, and they're so traumatized by their experiences, just even having one encounter, like, because they go out in the woods, they've been a hunter for 30 years. You know, they've hunted their whole life. They've been in the woods. They grew up in the woods. They've never had anything bad. And then this one day they go out and they see a freaking dog man, and they go home, and they can never, the nightmares start. They've got PTSD. They'll never go in the woods again. They're terrified.
It just breaks your mind. Cause imagine being a person who's never really encountered anything, never really had anything happen to them. And then, you know, so they're never really mentally preparing them to see anything crazy.
And they've seen nothing.
And then all of a sudden you go out and this giant thing is just standing before you, and you're just like, and you just, it doesn't even harm you. You just see it and you're like, oh my, like how do you even process that? Cause like when I'm going out in the woods, I'm prepared for like anything. I'm prepared for a bobcat. I'm prepared for, I don't know, some kind of skinwalker. I'm scared that I'm going to lose Paul in like 5 seconds because he might walk through something. Like, just like those back of the head, the impossibilities happening. But then you have people who just never think of that, you know, like they just don't. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even cross their brain that stuff happens ever.
I'm buying you and Paul auto locators as soon as possible. I want you both to have one at all times with you.
Just chip us. Just put a chip.
No, I watched the missing 411 cases, and David Pilates always talks about, he said that the people that have a gun on them and an auto locator never go missing.
Yeah.
I've watched some of those. They're
I got 21 rounds. I hope the dog man. Oh, actually, the 14th one. They might back off.
A silver bullet in one of those. I still think, in my mind, I think there might be something to that legend because something happened where something got started with werewolves and silver bullets, and I kind of wonder if there might be something to that silver might kill them.
Think about a lot of the legends.
Yep.
Mostly everything hates silver.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Salt. And salt, yeah.
Yep, and that's what silver's supposed to be, pure. And I've even thought about getting a gun in the house with some silver bullets. I know this sounds absolutely crazy, but I mean, what we're dealing with is absolutely crazy.
Hey, if it isn't a dog man, it's a dude that got hit with a really cool bullet.
Yeah.
A really expensive bullet, let me tell you. A cool, expensive bullet. I'd be digging that thing out of him again.
Mom was like, wait, let me go get my inexpensive clip.
I gotta go get my bullets.
I have to go get my normal bullets. Hold on. The dude's like, what?
It's awful. I know. I know. I was at the sink last night and I was polishing some silver, like a real silver, you know, and some of the silverware had tarnished. I looked at Tris. I said, do you know why this tarnished? And he's like, why? And I said, this is real silver. And he was like, wow. So yeah, like most people don't have real silver anymore for silverware.
I know. Paul was like looking at him and I was like, yeah, they're real silver. He's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. He's like, why are they this color? And I was like, yeah, it's real silver. Mom's got real silver. I don't know.
I started to polish them, but I've got a whole bunch of it in there and I have to polish them off. They're so pretty when they're freshly polished.
Yeah, they're Paul's got a necklace like that.
I just got a new silver.
Yeah, necklace. We'll just melt it all down someday and, you know, make silver bullets.
That'd be so funny. It'd be like
Winchester. Fake weapon, some kind of sword, you know.
Hilarious.
That's what they say. They say they're not afraid of guns as much as they are blades. They fear blades more.
Chop something off, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you get something like a katana or something, imagine having a blade that's so sharp that it just slight. I mean, that's what they would. You know, you could lop their hands off.
Imagine being the badass in the dog legends of dude that ran around chops with a katana.
That's what I would have. I'd have like a flamethrower and a katana, maybe a couple grenades.
An axe. Mom has.
That's what I would do. Silver bullets, and you know that's what I'm gonna work on this year. I'm gonna get a whole like you know, a whole armory of all these crazy weapons to go, you know, and be you know just like protect ourselves or whatever.
Mom's gonna be like a Winchester where she goes in the back of her bus. And she just like pops open a trunk, and it's like, Mom, what is all this stuff's like engraved? And like, oh my god,
camo the whole bus out, go hunt.
One of those demon circles in the middle of the bus.
Oh my god, it's just awful. Like, this is just crazy. Well, I want you to, I know you've got so many stories, and what I'd like you guys to do is, I will buy you a notebook, and you can jot down.
There's so many notebooks.
I know, but. This will be your supernatural notebook.
Oh, gosh.
Memories of supernatural encounters. And jot down some things that, you know, some things that, you know, that come to your mind that you remember going through, like experiencing and
okay.
You know, you guys on again many times.
Me and Paul are going to go exploring soon, so maybe we'll have more.
Oh, my God. Well, I want to go with you. Next time you guys go, I want to go with you.
Oh, God.
Abandoned places that are very interesting.
Oh my god, you guys,
it's bad.
I know, but I want, you know, I just want you guys do need to get auto locators though. That's something that supposedly is really, you know, useful and
can be
helpful and protective apparently. So I would just get one and just to have it, and you know, at least you're garbed up with what you need to be to have with you.
I agree. You know, it'd be cool, especially with how much stuff we do. You know, it won't be a terrible thing.
I was
joking with Cody last night. I said, you know, the one thing, next Christmas, I want to have a complete blowout Christmas. I'm talking like huge. And I said, everybody's getting night vision.
That's awesome.
That would be awesome.
I'll just take it just because.
I want night vision and auto locators. Like, I have all these plans. I'm like, there's so many things we need to get, you know? So he was laughing. He goes, Mom, that would be awesome. I was like, we're all getting night vision. We'll all go out. We'll all go hiking and with our night vision and stuff. Oh, my God. But it would be fun.
That would be hilarious. I'd be walking around the house with all the lights off. Paul comes in. Chandler, what are you doing? Flips on the light. I was like, no, you're blinding me.
Yeah, but imagine where you live, though, how fun that would be.
So fun. Care.
Yeah.
That ultimate gain of manhunt.
You could see everywhere.
You guys are just unreal. It might encourage you guys to do more dangerous things, though. I don't know.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. That may not be a good thing.
Yeah, 100%.
We do it. You guys are funny. Well, I love you guys so much. I just, I'll have you on, hopefully, like, maybe a month from now or something, you know. Give it a little break here, because it took me months to get you guys to do this. Now you guys are at the house all the time. I'm like, hey, want to do a podcast? And they're like, no, well, we can't tonight, because, you know.
I gotta go work in like 2 hours, or, you know, I gotta go do this and do that. So, hey, it's a little bit easier because Paul's not working during the winter, so it's a little easier.
Yeah, I'm just gonna show up down at your house with a camera crew next time.
That is so funny. I'd be like eating a chicken wing, being like, hey, what's up? Just eating my dinner.
Let's talk about some more encounters, Chia. Let's go.
It's just Tristan.
Her camera crew is Tristan.
Are you guys popping up to jog tonight?
Possibly. Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't know she's dragging us out to jog now. So it's like, God, help us all.
Get in shape for the ghosts.
I know.
You guys can't run from Dogman if you can't run.
I am not ready for this at all, but I'll do it. I'll manage through.
Be fun.
I love you guys.
I love you too, Mom.
You too.
Call me later and let me know if you're coming up, okay?
All right, sounds good, Mama.
All right, honey. Take care of you too.
See ya.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's a wrap for tonight's episode, everyone. Hope everyone enjoyed the show as much as I enjoy doing these shows. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve, and next day will be New Year's. I hope we have a wonderful new year, and we can escape from all this crazy stuff that's going on, all these dark times we're having. You guys, all of you, stay safe out there. God bless you all. Take care. I'll be talking to you soon. Happy New Year's.